If it wasn't copyrighted, I wish we could do like the 20th Century Fox.
Okay, that's it. It's all get listeners.
Yeah, no copyright here.
I don't know if you can notice anything, but I don't sound like garbage anymore.
Well, don't put yourself down like that.
I have switched from my beautiful AirPod microphone to my actual microphone, courtesy of Amazon. Thank you, Jeff Bezos. He personally hand-delivered it to my house.
Oh, yeah.
I know, guys. You're all jealous.
Jeffrey Bezos. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to copyright again. I love you, Bo Burnham. I love
Bo Burnham.
How do we get onto this so easy? We can just start talking about Inside. No. Mm-hmm. I can't even start to get into Inside because it's just a masterpiece.
That's just, there's so much to talk about. Okay. Yeah. So, shall we start with something that has been, this whole situation makes me, gives me so many emotions. So I am talking about John Mulaney and whatever is going on in his life.
It's kind of really, it gives me the ick, but then I'm also like,
yeah. Eh. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not like, oh, like, because John Mulaney and his wife were like, literally perfect. Like, I love his comedy shows where he would talk about him and his wife and Petunia, their dog. We stand Petunia.
Always Petunia.
And his whole thing was like, oh, we don't want to have kids. Like, we are just vibing as like 30-year-olds.
He literally had that comedy, like, he literally had that joke in his show about going with like with his ex-wife to with like a real estate agent to find a house, and the real estate agent kept on mentioning, you know, this could be room for a baby, and then he kept on saying like, no, you don't want kids. And yeah, that was a quick turnaround.
And then what was it, like 2020 December, I think, we like, oh, he like has relapsed, and like that's really sucky for him. I mean, it's really
I felt
horrible for him. And then he like comes out of rehab, leaves his wife, the beautiful Anna. We love her. God,
Anna.
She is.
You are my. I love you with everything.
I love her. Her TikTok, go check it out. It is amazing.
Her art.
It's Petunia content.
She's so talented.
I know. Oh my God. She is very talented.
Deserved better, and we will be better for. We'll do you better, Anna.
Yeah. And then.
Because like, we're Jewish too, so we understand
exactly,
you.
Exactly. They.
John
Mulaney
gets his Jew card taken away, by the way.
Oh, 100%. They get divorced, right? I think around like March. Then like literally 2 weeks later, it's like, oh my God, him and Olivia Munn are like in this serious committed relationship. Yeah, and then like
it was a joke at first because it was like, I think it was on Des Moines the first time I saw it. And I was like, well, how reliable could that be? Because they say everyone's dating.
I was like, okay, maybe they're friends. But then it's like there's a picture of Olivia Munn fully pregnant. Like, not like early pregnant, like she's been pregnant for like for a couple of months, but he only left his wife a month ago.
Pregnant,
so
I'm
the
still...
timeline is so sus.
Yeah, and I'm also like, how I just not to get into people's planned or unplanned pregnancies because she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah,
but it's just again like what you said about the timeline being really sus. Just regardless of if they were like. Still, regardless of like if Anna and like John were either like on the outs or like not together, imagine getting someone pregnant like that quick, just in general, after you're in a relationship. Like, regardless
also,
of if it was cheating
like,
or not.
Exactly. It just like it makes the whole thing seem so suspicious. And then he like, and the whole reason why we're bringing this up is because it was his child's 1 year like birthday. He turned one.
See,
like, oh, like, a couple days ago. But I was like, that means
happy
like,
birthday. 2 months or something.
Yeah, I was really confused because he was. It looked
like the caption.
Because I thought it was like 1 year since like they maybe it was like 1 year since they found out they were pregnant. Because I was like, he can't be 1 year old. That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah. That would mean like he has been cheating on his wife for like 2 years.
Happy birthday to the tiny man who has been stuck to me for 2 months. Whoever you are, sir, you are such a fun companion. Well,
so
I guess
2 month birthday. I guess,
but he's. I guess. I get. Do they have some weird traditions already, him and Olivia?
Yeah, I'm, like, so confused.
The year of the Olivias. Olivia Rodrigo, Olivia Munn, Olivia Wilde.
There's a lot of Olivias causing a lot of drama.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to anyone named Olivia. I think it's because One Direction wrote a song, Olivia. So it's just
the Olivia's pipeline.
Exactly. So there's bound to be controversy around someone named Olivia, obviously.
Actually, though, speaking of, like, pipelines and actresses, I was thinking recently about, I saw this video, I think it was on TikTok. I don't remember the creator, so I'm sorry. She was talking about the Jennifer Lawrence pipeline and who could fall down the pipeline. Anyway, so I will explain what the Jennifer Lawrence pipeline is. Basically, Jennifer Lawrence became big around like 2011, 2012, 2013 when like when the Hunger Games came out, and she seemed to be this like funny, relatable girl that everybody could be could
but
be
who could like do serious roles.
Yeah, she could. She was very talented, but she also seemed quite normal. But a few years later, when like the social media kind of almost turned on her and changed and was like, she's not relatable, she's just cringy and she's a pick me, whatever pick me means. I still think that's a very interesting term because I don't really understand it anymore. I used to, but now I'm like, they'll just use pick me for anything. But anyways, now people like her again, but it was like a thing where like she used to be relatable, but then she just became cringy and then she kind of fell off the face of the earth for a while. And then now she's not a social media person. Yeah, she also doesn't have any social media. But they were discussing who could fall down that pipeline next.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing. Because who is there anybody else who's like big right now that tries to act was relatable?
Who scared me?
Sorry to everyone listening.
You're good. It just scared me.
Yeah. Am I good now?
Continue. You're good.
Like, okay. Thank you. Sorry to everyone listening. I am. I apologize.
Yeah. And people listening are my mom.
And my friends who I forced to listen who really don't care about anything.
Who they're going to have it on the background so that we can get our view count up.
Anyways, so like, I really am wondering who is or isn't going to fall down this pipeline next. Because you can bring up like the likes of people who, like, the It Girls right now who are, like, Zendaya, Florence Pugh, Anya Taylor-Joy. But I also don't think that those people act the same way that Jennifer Lawrence used to. Because
no. I could see John, like, I think John, but the thing is, because I was like, he's kind of doing that where, like, he was this funny, relatable, like,
everyday man. We're also talking about John Mulaney in this, too. Okay. Let's add John Mulaney to the context.
Yeah. Because I was like, I feel like he could be a Jennifer Lawrence pipeline candidate. Because he, like, I guess not in the same way that, like, she didn't blow up the same way that he did, but, like, his whole, like, persona in Hollywood was, like, built off of the fact that he was this, like, funny, relatable guy who, like, anyone thought, like, he could make humor for anyone to enjoy. And then all of a sudden, he had this, like, 180 flip where he, like, even this, if you cut out, like, the rehab thing, not including that, like, everything that's happened since him and his wife got divorced has just been, like, plummeting his, like, personality and why people like him. Because I know he's like going on tour again, and I don't know what, like, I don't know
if he's seen him and he had shirts made called like I saw him straight out of rehab or something.
Yes. And I saw, I think maybe this is what it was, because I think I saw someone on Twitter talk about how like he made some jokes that were like a little bit insensitive about like his situation with his ex-wife and stuff.
Did he? So, I thought he wasn't gonna talk about her.
I don't know, not like, it wasn't like referencing her, but it was like, did a lot of crazy things in the past year. Like, it was like where it was like alluding to it, that someone was like, it left a bad taste in my mouth. But I didn't see anything else that was like overtly, like, it was bad. But I feel like his whole image and demographic has definitely shifted. Because a lot of people who were our age used to like, I was a John Mulaney stan.
I mean, I was supposed to see John Mulaney before he canceled his Toronto show like 5 times. And then he eventually was canceled for good.
Yeah,
I was like, supposed to see. I loved him. I watched all his Netflix specials over and over again. I would watch like him and Nick Kroll doing the monologue for the Independent Spirit like film like award thing,
Indie Film Awards.
Because it's not to say that he isn't funny anymore. I guess just the problem is it's just when you look back at the content for a lot of the jokes he used to make, it makes you uncomfortable now because it's like, well, this is the person he's not with anymore, and think about what happened since blah blah blah.
Exactly,
blah. It's just a weird situation.
And he had built most of his humor off of the fact that like, he was like, a lot of it involved his wife and his dog. That was literally 90% of where his jokes came from and why people thought like he was funny, because like he was like married to, he was like, he just had this very relatable down-to-earth persona, because he also wasn't with someone who was like super high profile. Like Olivia Munn's like, she's a celebrity. Like he's now, I feel like, entered like a whole different like stratosphere of celebrity that just kind of loses touch with his relatability. And that's not to say I'm like, oh, anyone who dates another famous person is like automatically not relatable anymore. But I think because he built so much of his brand on the fact that he was like your everyday man who happened to be a comedian who got famous, you know?
Yeah, no, like I fully understand that. Because there's just some kind of ick about it, because I feel like especially how it could relate to the Jennifer Lawrence thing, Jennifer Lawrence pipeline, as we were saying, that like someone can give off a persona as, you know, being this super relatable person. But in John Mulaney's sense, it's not the fact that like people realize that he wasn't like, that his jokes weren't funny anymore. It's just the fact that like the circumstances of the times when he told those jokes have kind of changed, and it's just kind of an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, 100%. All right, do we want to move on to the next thing?
Yeah.
Okay, you can take it away.
Okay. So something very exciting has happened since we recorded our last podcast literally yesterday. So this is like a very new thing, because we were literally talking about this person. And I think I even made a mention of what I wanted to happen. So I think I kind of manifested it.
I think you did. You manifested this interview that definitely was recorded before you said that.
I had been asking for like a few weeks. Yes. So I internally manifested. Anyways, Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire finally did an interview talking about No Way Home and their experience working on the movie. And it melted my heart.
It was the most adorable, like, three, like, little men just complimenting each other. It was like three brothers getting together to have a reunion. And it's like, because the guy that interviewed them was like kind of this old guy.
Hated is a strong word. I'm sure the guy was just nervous because this was like the first interview they've done with all three of them with someone. But I definitely feel like they could have gotten a moderator or an interviewer who was like better than this guy. It should have been Josh Horowitz.
Yeah, I feel like the interviewer should have been a bit more snappy. Like, he kind of felt like he was like sitting in like a library, which like no hate to libraries. I own so many books. Like, I literally have a bag on my floor of books that I can't fit.
I own so many books. That was a great line.
But like, this guy just seemed like I feel like they should have gone someone who's a bit more in touch.
Yeah.
Like, what was going on? Who could, like, kind of, like, fire off the questions a bit more, like, interesting? This guy was a little bland.
Even, like, younger person who couldn't have that energy. Because I feel like to match the energy of the fact that, like, a lot of the stuff that was happening with, like, leaks of this movie and, like, speculations were happening on social media in the age of, like, Gen Z and all this.
And, like, TikTok and stuff. Yeah, it was. But, like,
just someone who's more in touch.
Like, yeah, exactly. Doesn't even have to be other than that, it was really cute to see these like three bros just like hang out and like love each other.
Yeah,
they were just like complimenting each other, and they were like talking about how they're really excited. And Andrew has the most middle kid syndrome. Anyone? Oh my god! Know.
Did you see that they released online? They released this like the screenplay. Like they released the.
Oh my god! They did.
Yeah, I saw them. Like Deadline released it, and. Yeah, it's interesting to see the words written.
Do you want
to
put on a duo production of Spider-Man No Way Home?
Are you saying you want to form an alliance with me? I would fully do that, but also in the script they had...
Musical theater, get on that.
Andrew's Spider-Man be called Webverse, because like Mark Webb directed.
Yeah.
And then they had like Toby's be Raimi verse.
That's kind of cute. I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, it's also interesting because, you know, sometimes you can think that a script has to like sound really good on paper, but it's very different when it's read out loud.
Yeah, especially in an action movie,
you see all these lines that kind of sound just like normal, like just don't sound that special on the page.
Yeah.
Because I'm not an actor and I don't know what it's like to bring these words to life, but then thinking about how they were translated on screen is very different than reading someone go oh with three dots, like that could be that was your moment of being super loud into the microphone.
Yeah, but it's like, because especially when it's an action movie, it's so hard. Like, the lines of dialogue are like panting, deep breaths,
grunt.
I love that on Netflix when it's like the closed captions and it'll just go grunt.
Or when there's like a sexy scene happening, and they're like, are there like
Kissing noises. Yeah, or I love when it's like
harsh breathing.
Yeah, or it's like storms off angrily. I'm like, what is this like English class? This captioning person just decided that they were going to use all of the proper nouns and all the nouns that they knew when they were making not proper nouns, nouns while they were doing this. No English guys.
Yeah.
The at that interview, they need more. Major, I want a photo shoot. I want a photo shoot companion to the interview.
I think I'll just like die if that happens.
Just like you'll dust.
It's funny because I was watching the interview like an endgame. Oh my god. No. Anyway, it was funny watching the interview because Toby seems so cuddly. Like he seems like such a golden retriever-y. And he just looks like so happy to be there. But it's funny because people make all these bully Maguire jokes. If you know, you know.
It's so sad. I feel so bad for him.
He seems so nice. And he just seems so happy to like be there on that. Like I need that. Also, he was talking about how like they would just like goof around and like dance around in their suits. And I'm ready for that blooper reel.
Where's the blooper reel?
Also, have we got scenes?
Some deleted scenes? Yeah, because we got like Hawkeye deleted scenes. We haven't gotten WandaVision ones. Where are the WandaVision deleted scenes?
Also, the Eternals deleted scenes exist, but only on, like, the Blu-ray release so far. They're not on Disney Plus
yet. Oh, why aren't they on Disney Plus? That's so stupid. Who buys a DVD?
So many Black Widow deleted scenes.
I have to watch them. I kept seeing them. I have to watch them. I just need to sit down and do it. I have so many things to watch.
Seriously, I don't think Black Widow is the best movie in the world, but I definitely do think it got too much slander.
Yeah, it was a good, like, it was, the thing is, it came out after WandaVision, everyone became snobs with Marvel, was like,
we felt so entitled to get everything.
Exactly, also everyone was like expecting every Marvel project after that to be some like revolutionary new concept for action television, which first of all, Black Widow was filmed way before WandaVision, and also it was never going to be like it was just supposed to be a movie that should like that movie should have come out years ago because you know Justice for Black Widow, but it didn't for annoying reasons. So it was like her movie could have only ever been like a spy espionage movie, and I think it was doomed to get this like annoying reception because it came after WandaVision and all these other like Disney Plus shows that were so like revolutionary and different, and then they tried to come out with a movie that was like very similar to other ones they've made, and I don't think it got the praise that it would have gotten had it come out like a couple years ago.
I fully agree with that. I also think that like the scale that movies are made now, because people expect that, they're not surprised by it anymore. Because like when Avengers came out, when Iron Man came out, when Captain America came out, it was huge. Still this huge because people were like, oh my god, what have movies like what have they gotten to at this point? Because you know, is very like all the CGI was like
Avatar.
The amazing CGI was like pretty new because CGI really only like it was basically the 2000s when CGI got amazing, so it was so new because Iron Man came out in 2008, and since then CGI has gone super amazing.
Well, if you look but at it, also, like keep going.
And I also think that like there's a lot of people that complain that like Marvel doesn't use enough practical effects, but I also think Marvel's full of secrets, and the problem is that if you try to shoot on location, if you try to do this,
it's
and
so
that,
hard.
There will be plot points that will be
also. If we can go off of recent events, practical effects can be really dangerous and can kill people.
Yep. Like, well, also, I heard that the thing that happened with Alec Baldwin and that whole situation, apparently some director, some prop master said that like whatever situation that they were using, I forget that what they called the gun that wasn't supposed to obviously have a real like
bullet in it.
Apparently, whatever system they were using is not normally used, and some people have haven't even ever heard of it.
Oh, that's so weird. That whole thing seems so shady to me. Like I have not been able to figure out like what actually happened.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't like Alec's fault, I can't imagine the trauma he's gonna have for the rest of his life about.
I was like thinking about it. I was like, imagine being anyone on that set, especially Alec, because he shot it. Like I could not imagine, because that's just it's just that's a very scary thing to happen. But yeah, when people are talk about like, oh, why don't you do more practical effects? Well, I feel like you can do a lot more with CGI. Like, you get, like, the whole point of these Marvel movies is to escape from our world into a different one. And it's a lot easier to do that with CGI. And it looks good. It doesn't look tacky. So I'm like, if it's easier for them to do CGI and it shields the audience from having spoilers, yeah, I'm honestly, like, not that. I'm not a CGI hater.
So John Watts, the director of the MCU Spider-Man trilogy, was talking about how they, before COVID happened, they had, like, planned to shoot the movie, like,
yeah, they just,
like,
couldn't.
Part of it, planned to shoot the movie, like, in New, like, at least parts of it in New York, but I guess because of all the developments that happened in the movie, I guess, because I think a lot of things were kind of happening quickly and they didn't have everything planned out.
It was filmed, like, literally the middle of COVID.
So, and then they ended up not being able to shoot in New York, also because that would have spoiled things, because if you're shooting on the street, that's going to reveal something. See.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd rather it be CGI and I don't know anything than, like, someone takes a video.
I honestly didn't even notice. Well, yeah, speaking of CGI, if you, and, like, when we were talking about Black Widow earlier, if you look at a movie like Avatar, because I've always, like, I always have thought about this about Avatar, is, like, that movie was, like, wait, it was the second highest grossing movie ever, apart from Avengers Endgame.
To number one because it was re-released.
We released it in, like, China. Yeah. So it's the highest grossing movie ever. But I think I will stand by this. If it was released today, it would not make even close to the amount of money, because I think the only reason it became so successful was because it was the first movie to do CGI like that. Like, when I think of the plot of the movie, it's not that, like, revolutionary.
Yeah. And I definitely do think that it's an amazing movie, especially for the time. I definitely do think it's super well made, and I'll definitely rewatch it, like, whenever it comes 100%. On TV.
But don't think,
especially in the age of COVID, especially, like, people are not going to show up and show out for a movie that they don't really know that much about. And the reason that people came, you know, why Spider-Man No Way Home is still making so much money is because people know those characters and they want to come out and watch those movies. But especially now, like, the reason why a lot of movies are not making nearly as much is because people don't care about seeing movies that they don't really have as much connection to.
Yeah, which is also why I'm very interested to see, because there's, like, a second Avatar movie coming out.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see.
The next two Avatars back to back or something?
I have no clue, but I am very interested to see how successful they are, because I don't really know, because they're not going to do as well as they did. I don't think they're going to do a fraction as well as the first one.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. What if they wait? Like, COVID's basically a thing of.
But I don't think it'll be COVID. I think it'll be because the first movie was so revolutionary. Because number one, it is an interesting plot. Like, it's interesting
because
but
they re-released it in China and it still made like $1 million. So it made like maybe $100,000 more or something like that. Like, do you think because it made that much money in the first place that those same people who saw it are going to want to see it again?
I don't know. Because I remember talking about this in one of my classes in high school. We were talking about, like, the marketing for Avatar and how the thing that was, like, in every trailer was, like, revolutionary filming technology never seen before.
I never saw the trailer.
So he was talking about all the marketing and all the press that was, like, surrounding this movie was how, like, innovative it was. And it was less so about the plot. And don't get me wrong, I still think it's a very interesting, like, it's still a very good movie. And I think it definitely deserves, like, the praise it's gotten. But I don't think the second and the third ones are going to do close to as well, because it's technology that's been out for so long that has been used by so many other people that I feel like I don't know how good they'll be able to make the story for a second and a third one so that it'll, like, carry it to that level. I think they'll do well, but I think
really
we might see, like, something like what happened with Black Widow, which is, like, this second movie, these two, three movies should have come out right after the first one. They should have come out, like, within the next few years.
So, like, Scarlett Johansson's character, like, Natasha Romanoff, was introduced to the MCU in 2010. So she didn't get a movie for a decade.
That's ridiculous. It's insane. But I also am very curious why they decided to make these Avatar movies now rather than before, if they knew the first one was so successful. And also why, like, because it took a long time to make a Black Widow movie, and it wasn't because fans didn't want it.
Fans wanted it for a long time.
Like, since her character was introduced. So I'm interested to see what the conversations were like, if it was just, like, sexism misogyny, or if it was like there was a legitimate reason and there was like some because this movie should have come out in between
ages ago. And also people invested in Natasha. Like, think about it. People were crying about her character dying in Endgame because they felt such a connection to her, and yet she never even got her own solo movie before her death.
She should have gotten a trilogy.
Like, she should have gotten a trilogy. Like, why? Like, thinking back on it, still, it, like, bothers me. We literally got a movie about a character that had already died during a past that's already very much past in the MCU. And really, the only service that film did was, like, give us a bit more nuance into her life and then introduce
Yelena.
I felt bad for... I also felt bad for Scarlett because, obviously, like Florence Pugh is a phenomenal actress and everyone loves Yelena now. Like, she was also just in Hawkeye and everything.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because... either they should have, like, introduced Yelena earlier on so we weren't so drawn to her as a new character in the Black Widow movie, because then she kind of took center stage, which obviously, like, doesn't bother me because I think Florence Pugh is phenomenal and deserves everything. But I just felt bad for Scarlett because everybody kind of – it felt like a lot of, like the Yelena show, because she's so funny and she's so, like – she draws you in.
I feel like Yelena should have been a character that was introduced in, like – the second Black Widow. They should have made three, and she should have been a character, like Falcon. Exactly, like how Falcon was introduced in the second Captain America, right? It was the second exactly. Yeah. And he became this, like, comedic relief side character, but it didn't take away from Steve's story. Like, I think it would have been good, and then it allowed for his story to build afterwards. I feel like because we got this Yelena introduced in the only Black Widow movie, it was like we were watching – it felt like I was watching Black Widow, but I was actually watching a setup movie for Yelena. I love the character.
She had screen time as Scarlett did. Like, she literally had similar screen time. So you can't say it like, oh, she just stole the show because she was really good, which obviously she was. But, like, she had basically as much screen time as Scarlett did in that movie.
And, like, we both love Yelena's character, but it's a little bit frustrating that whoever wrote the script, whoever is – well, not even the script writers, because I doubt they have much of a say. They probably get told what they have to write. Kevin Feige at Marvel, I'm talking to you, sir. I don't know why – I don't know if it was contract stuff or what, or, like, why they just – so much of this movie shifted its focus away from Black Widow and onto, like, all these other extra characters who we never met before, who we were supposed to have this deep connection to. And I feel like it should have been a lot more about, like, her character, but, you know, they had already killed her, so it was kind of hard to add a lot of character development to a character that can't go anywhere after that.
Yeah, and then there was that random guy in the movie who was, like, helping her out, but – we didn't
know what his name was.
And, like, they felt like they had some chemistry, but they also didn't. It was kind of confusing.
He was, like, kind of random. And then it wasn't like Yelena where we got, like, a teaser to where we're going to see her again. We just, like, never see him again.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was his point? He, like, got you fake IDs and a trailer and a plane. Yeah. I was like, okay, I need more information about this random strange man.
I don't know this man. If I saw him on the street, I wouldn't know a thing.
I wouldn't know a thing.
Like, he's the Palmer. I deserve more.
Queen.
Kiki Palmer in the MCU. Let's see what she does.
Oh my god. Speaking of new additions to the MCU, this is a lovely transition for two new things.
Oh my god. Coming.
We have New Knight with Oscar Isaac, legend of a man from Dune and Star Wars. I love him. He's so beautiful. He's literally so beautiful. He's so perfect. He's so perfect. And for those of you who have not seen the trailer, I recommend watching it because I forgot that it was a Marvel thing.
Okay. Can I? Yeah. Speaking of it feeling like it was not a Marvel thing. So yeah. I think the trailer, first of all, was super well done. I think there was like a Kid Cudi song in the trailer.
Yeah,
it was. It was perfectly chosen. And
it was very good. I watched the video about the song
and it looks really intriguing. But at the same time, I'm worried that because it took such an creative approach, seemingly, that it's not going to fit into the rest of the MCU, but it might still be really good. That's the thing. I think, because speaking of that, like, I think Eternals was just okay, and it also didn't really fit in that well to the rest of the MCU. It should have
been a Disney Plus series.
Because they had 10 characters, and I don't know how they expected me to connect with 10 different people in the span of 2.5 hours.
I'm mad that they, because they wasted Chloe Zhao's potential as the brilliant director that she is on a movie instead of giving her 6 to 10 episodes to develop these characters properly.
I heard like Leah McHugh, who plays Sprite, say that apparently it was originally going to be a miniseries and they made it a movie instead. It should have just been a miniseries, yes, because then we would have had time to. Also, here's the thing. I don't mind, like, interesting filmmaking techniques where they, like, choose not to have, like, the film just go, like, beginning, middle, end. Like, it's not, mm-hmm, like, a classic Hollywood standard. It's obviously, that has a
linear storyline.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you. But my problem is that with the flashbacks and then Back to the Future, that's the name of it. My problem with that is it just didn't feel right. I don't mind in movies when they, like, show the, when they go back and forth and back and forth between the two. But it just felt kind of annoying because I was like, just tell me about these characters and then show me what they're doing now. Because in the MCU, we only care really about the present. That's the problem. There's so many characters in the MCU now and so much going on in the present universe that in that very universe, we don't really care that much about what happened in the past unless it directly impacts the future. And then like a few of these characters died, so it doesn't matter as much. And also, here's the thing. Salma Hayek, great, great woman. I thought her performance in the movie was kind of flat.
I agree.
It didn't feel that believable to me. And I love you, Selma, but I'm sorry. Yeah, it wasn't your best work.
I think it felt a little bit flat. I think justice for Kit Harington. He should have been the main character. I'm just kidding. No, but I thought his character was really good. I was a little bit disappointed in Richard Madden, not gonna lie. Love you, Rob Stark, to the end of the earth. Like, I'm in love with him, but
Richard Madden as Prince Charming in
yes, Cinderella. That was also 10 out of 10. But I really think the like 15 minutes of screen time that Kit Harington got like stole the show away from Richard Madden, who was supposed to be the main character.
Here's the thing, Sprite was like low key annoying, but I feel bad that the character is getting so much hate online because I feel like it's like, how would you feel if for like 7,000 years you were stuck in a child's body
and you couldn't do anything?
And you had to move every couple of years because it would be weird if you weren't aging. Yeah. Like, also, I thought they didn't really need her having been in love with Icarus for like,
it was so weird.
A long time. Because here's the thing, I understand like pining for someone that doesn't want you, but like, why couldn't she just looked up to him as a big brother and just followed him to the ends of the earth?
Yeah,
why couldn't
that just happen? The same character development could have happened. It made me a little bit uncomfortable. Like, yes, I get she's not a child, but it was still an actor who is a child. Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of like gave me an ick.
gave the ick.
Yeah, I don't know how comic accurate it is. I haven't read like the Eternals comics. I haven't read most comics, so I can't attest to that, but just like personally. But yeah, I think Gemma Chan and Kit Harington carried that whole movie with Angelina Jolie. Yeah. Same with Kumail
Nanjiani. Deserves more than
because her performance was amazing.
My problem with Thena is that even though the Angelina Jolie put in a good performance with what she was given, my problem is that she had that weird thing called mad weary, where, like, she had too many memories and it made her go insane. And my problem is that that happened so early on that I didn't care if Thena knew, like, I didn't care if Thena had the memories or didn't, because I didn't know Thena and I didn't care about Thena because I didn't know her. So what does it mean to me as an audience member if she loses her memories or not? And I feel like we were supposed to feel bad for her at that point, but I didn't care because I didn't know. It was pretty early on in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like it should have been something that happens at the end of the movie that leads into what's happening the next movie. Because I feel like they should have developed her character and then put little bits of foreshadowing into, like, she's a little bit unstable in the head.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she, goes full berserk.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I was like, that would have been such a good setup for a next movie. Because then it's like, oh, we can follow her character because she's so interesting and she's, you know, Angelina Jolie, she's so talented. But yeah, I think Richard Madden fell a little flat. Same with Salma Hayek.
I really love Richard Madden.
So I love you always and forever. Drew McKinnon
forever.
Oh my god, yes.
She deserves more screen time.
Yes. Lauren Ridloff, who plays her, watch her in The Sound of Metal on Amazon Prime.
I haven't seen it yet.
Riz Ahmed. Watched it because I always like watch the Oscar movies.
Do you know Ridloff is 43? thought she was like 30.
She has like two children.
I thought she was 30 at most.
Yeah. No, she is a queen.
She is Jewish.
Yeah. And he was the ASL instructor coach for all of the people on the in the cast. And he like does it for like a bunch of movies and stuff. And I was like, that's so cool. He's like of the movies that feature sign language, he's like the coach and stuff who like teaches the cast members like how to do it properly. And I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. Did it for Hawkeye.
Oh, he did for Hawkeye too?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny that you talk about that with Hawkeye, because I remember people being really annoyed for like basically over a decade, or just about a decade, that you know, that Hawkeye is like canonically, like in the comics, he's deaf.
Yeah.
And they hadn't done that, and then people were mad at Jeremy Renner for it, thinking that it was like his decision.
But it's like not his decision.
And then eventually they just decided to like make their own plot point about it, that like all the times that he had like done crazy stuff with the Avengers led to him becoming like partly like deaf in like one ear or something. So I think that was like a good transition into like somewhat canonically adding that into the character, because I feel like, also I love Hailee Steinfeld as Kate Bishop, and whenever she would interact with Yelena on that show, Kate Bishop,
10 out of 10.
The scene with the hot sauce with her eating the mac and cheese. Yes. Oh my god,
they are a dynamic duo that I'm very excited to see.
So excited! I just
definitely
No Hate to Jeremy Renner. The entire show could have been two of them, and also with Lucky.
Oh today. Yeah, 100%. We did not need Jeremy
I got the
Renner.
Funko Pop of Kate Bishop with the dog, and it's gonna ship soon.
Oh my god, I need to buy it. I also have to get
it's sold out right now.
Wanda. I'll go on the like mailing.
My sister's Halloween Wanda that I bought for her just arrived the other day, and she's perfect.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I have.
Do you get that from Pop in a Box? That's where I get mine.
No, I haven't ordered any online.
Okay, popinabox.ca. Yes, sometimes it takes a while to ship, but they're
wait a while.
They're all sold at face value because all Funko Pops, unless they're like limited edition, all Funko Pops are $15 face value. Yeah,
exactly. And then just try and sell them for like $85 and shit.
Which is insane.
I almost
It's fine. I did it last time too, and I was like, oops. Anyways.
Oh my god, I just went on this website. This is very cool. I'm gonna look at this later.
Okay, so anyways, so speaking of the MCU, we're heading right into Oscar season really quick. Like, Oscar season's happening. Golden Globes happened, which weren't aired on TV because they had a whole deal with like not having any like members of color
Emily
or black
Paris.
Members. Oh my god, we don't even talk about it. Yeah, but they, but the
Rachel Zegler, winner, chicken dinner, my queen for life. I love her.
I love her so much. Anyways, so we're heading right into Oscar season. I think Oscars are in the next month, unless it gets like canceled again because like the Grammys got postponed until April.
Is it April?
I think the Grammys got postponed until April. But anyway, but Oscar nominations are like a really big thing in the press right now. Like everyone's gearing up for their final predictions. So the Oscar season is happening. So, speaking of the MCU in this relation, I've seen that online that Marvel and Sony, or whoever is, like, whatever, is trying to push Spider-Man No Way Home for a Best Picture nomination. And I find this really interesting, and not in the sense that I think that, like, that Spider-Man No Way Home is, like, the most deserved of, like, an Oscar nomination through all, like, the artistry that's been put out in films, like, in the past year. But I also think that it was really a great movie that everyone enjoyed. And I just want to see the film bros get mad.
I love making them mad. Sorry that popular movies are good.
Yeah, sorry that I love rom-coms.
I mean, I hate rom-coms, but that's just because... okay, but my reason for hating them is, like, not a good reason.
What's your reason?
I just don't like them because I always predict the ending, and then I get annoyed that I have to sit through the whole movie because, like, I know how it's going to end, which is, like, not a good reason to, like, hate a movie because, like, a lot of movies, you can predict how it ends and they're still entertaining.
I love the happy ending. That's why there is that form of escapism even in stupid movies.
I also...
But Crazy Sometimes Stupid Love is such a good movie.
I love Crazy Stupid Love. It's like the definition of a rom-com that is like that's
also
a rom-com
a
for me. Like it's a good movie, it's funny, and also it's an anti-rom-com rom-com, which I love.
Okay, but also So just going back to Oscar season.
Yes.
I have not seen that many movies this year that are like in the Oscar predictions list, but I did see West Side Story before like theaters in Ontario closed again. I saw it, I think, December 9th I always saw it with my sister. And that movie is just phenomenal. Because
it
takes characters and, like, content that people have seen before, but it revamps it completely. In like a new, fresh,
and the
like
music.
Politically correct way, because yeah. they use an all Latin, like, I don't know if people use Latinx or Latino
all,
cast.
I know, wasn't it all Puerto Rican cast, with some, which some people yeah. were angry about?
Angry, yeah.
But it was all Latino. And I think from what Steven Spielberg has, like, said on the issue, is that, like, because a lot of people were like, Rachel Zegler, she's not
she's
Puerto Rican. She's Colombian. She's half Colombian, half white. But it was like, he has talked to her. He's like, he hired her because her voice and acting skills were so good that he just couldn't see anybody else as Maria, which yeah. I get is like, can be something that might be like, that's such
okay,
a flat
but my
excuse.
My top of the list for Oscar season is Ariana DeBose in West Side Story, because
yes,
I think
amazing.
I do think Rachel Zegler was really, really great, especially the fact that
but
it was
I
her
don't
first
think
movie
it's
role ever.
Oscar worthy.
I think it's Oscar nod worthy,
yes.
but
I don't think
like,
it's Oscar winner worthy.
Yeah. Like the yes. the feeling and the emotion and the
yeah I think
that she and also Ariana DeBose does it all. She can sing, she can dance, she can act,
yeah,
and
I think
she's like she's a force of nature.
Oh my god, I'm so excited to see what she does next,
especially in the song A Boy Like That. I was like in shambles.
America is literally my favorite song ever. It's so fun. Yeah. The way she was able to transition from like fun, kind of like 50s style upbeat dance songs to like gut-wrenching. Don't even. Oh, that Maddie Ziegler. Maddie Ziegler cameo.
Dance Moms with all my heart.
Oh, same. Oh my god.
Also, guys, we have to end this soon because we are still university students and I have stuff to do.
Yes. But I will talk about this quickly. I found an article of like the Oscars predictions for like this year.
Okay. Was it from Variety?
No, it's Los Angeles Times.
Okay. I saw the Variety one.
So basically a lot of movies that have shown up apparently on a bunch of their lists have been Dune.
Mm.
Licorice Pizza, which I still
we
haven't
saw
seen.
Together. We saw Dune
together.
We were looking over at each other being like, I don't know what's happening.
Yes, but now I feel like I understand it more after watching multiple YouTube videos explaining it to me, because I don't think my small brain can comprehend that movie, but it's okay. I'm still going to watch all of them, even if I don't understand any. Oh, that's my alarm. That is Matthew Gray Gubler singing the Golden Girls theme song.
Oh my god.
Anyways,
Betty White, I love you so much and
love her.
You will always be older than sliced bread.
Exactly. So basically Licorice Pizza was another one which I want to see. It's Alana from Haim, isn't it?
I'm Haim in May. I'm so excited. I love Alana Haim.
You've already gotten tickets?
I already got tickets. I'm seeing them with my sister.
Oh,
it's
wait.
At Echo Beach.
You mean the concert? I thought you meant the movie.
No.
I'm seeing the concert too.
You're going to the Haim concert?
Yes, with my sister.
So two Jewish sisters and two Jewish sisters go into a Haim concert
with three Jewish sisters. I got it for my sister for her birthday. I got her tickets for the one at Echo Beach as well.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so that's excited. So funny. That's so fun. I love that we're both bringing our siblings.
I gotta go.
Okay.
But Amy, you continue talking and I'll just go.
By myself?
I don't know. I gotta leave. Just end it because I have to go on a presentation call.
All right. We will sign off. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this. We will.
So ending it really quickly. But again, we are university students and I still have work to do because midterm season is coming soon. And
we will talk about the Oscars. We'll talk about the Oscars next episode. That'll be stay tuned for the Oscars. Yeah. All right.
We'll also watch more movies so we can discuss our predictions more.
Yes,
thank you guys for listening. It's highly caffeinated. We appreciate it.
Sayonara, Sally.
Bye.
Bye.